This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The college football playoff is finally here on Saturday, and one coach may be coaching for his job. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Of course, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up with your news from Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. He is Peter Burns. I am Braden Gall, in for the guys. And Ryan Day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kirby Smart. on the hot seat. Go back-to-back with Stetson Bennett? Come on.
Can Kirby Smart win the big one, Peter? That's next. Tape of 10. Listen, Ryan Day. You are judged at Ohio State by the way you compete against Michigan and the way you compete for national championships. You can say that's not fair. That's fine. Those are the expectations at Ohio State, whether you think it's fair or not. So, Ryan Day, two losses all time in Big Ten play. He's lost two games in conference play in four seasons as the head coach. Why would that ever cause concern for Ryan Day in his coaching future? Because the losses have been to Alabama in the national championship game, not close. To Michigan 2 years ago in Ann Arbor, cost him a shot at the championship, not a close game. And this year, at home, favored with a chance to go to the playoff in the Big Ten title, and you fail miserably, and you get beat, and it's not close. It may not be fair to Ryan Day, but this is how you are judged. And if they get blown out again against Georgia, the calls for his job, I don't think it's fair, but the calls for his job at Ohio State will be loud from the fans.
Yeah, it's not fair, and they won't happen. But because here's what goes down. Listen, there's not going to be no fault if you lose to Georgia, okay? Right? I mean, like a lot of teams have done it, especially over the last 2 years. He's got that team humming. I think their defense is like sneakily almost as good as it was last year. You just don't have as many kind of NFL draft picks. But what it does, it fully puts you on a hot seat. There's always a season before the season in which you get fired, right? Yep. There's always a season in which all of a sudden you're like, well, things are going well, and now I'm questioning my marriage, right? Now I'm kind of questioning, like, what is this relationship like on whether or not he is a guy going forward? And I think those questions do become a little bit, or these murmurs do become a little bit louder, and all of a sudden you start having the kind of the mumblings, right? Think about this as well, too. Post-pandemic, boosters around college football programs have never been more important, okay? Once the pandemic had hit, there were a lot of athletic departments that were struggling for money. Guess what? They were able to go to their boosters and say, hey, listen, we need some money. Help us out. Here's what's going on. Continue your donating. That was great. Even more so in the name of name, image, and likeness. Now these boosters right now, guess what? They're putting a lot of money to these collectives. They're putting a lot of money into the fact of helping recruits go select a school. I know they're not supposed to, Braden, but let's be honest with you. Like, that's what's probably happening a little bit, and there is some high school free agency that's happening in college football.
It doesn't bother me one bit, you know?
As a man that pays my mortgage talking about collegiate athletics, I have no problem who gets paid and whatnot. Yeah. I'd be an absolute hypocrite if I didn't say that. But the problem is all of a sudden you are going to have power brokers, if this goes that way, that starts wondering, is Ohio State the next Notre Dame? And here's the reason why I don't think they are, right? Notre Dame couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't win the big one. Every time that they were faced with a marquee game, whether it be regular season or a national championship or a playoff opportunity, they failed. They failed because they couldn't get the players there, right? And that's one of the reasons why Brian Kelly is coaching it in Baton Rouge right now, is because he felt like there was almost like a governor switch of what he could do with his Hall of Fame coaching career. We already saw he took LSU to SEC championship in year one. I back away from Ryan Day when I look at a recruiting day and a signing day that says, you know what, man, all of a sudden these guys are flipping. There's a lot of guys that say, the pizzazz is off of Columbus. I don't see that happening with Ryan Day. I still think he's a good coach. But what I think, though, is that Ohio State punched enough people in the mouth over the last couple of years, especially Jim Harbaugh, where they like, oh, I thought we were really trying. No, they're really trying. Now we need to level up, and I think Harbaugh has done that brilliantly, and I think that's why there is pressure on Ryan Day right now.
Well, and say what you want about Urban Meyer, and we can say a lot. The way he elevated Ohio State recruiting and recruiting in general in the Big Ten when he took that job like all the gentlemen's agreements went out the door.
Night and day.
And it became like the SEC in terms of recruiting. By the way, a reminder, you can listen to all the coverage of the college football playoff semifinals this Saturday starting at 3 p.m. Eastern time right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And I think, again, it's not. I don't think he's on the hot seat. I think you nailed it exactly right. It's the year before the year where he's on the hot seat. If they get blown out by Georgia, which again, in and of itself, is not that big of an indictment on him. The problem is I can't point to a game in the last probably 2 years at least, if not 3 years, where Ryan Day felt like he was the difference. Like he was the reason Ohio State overcame some semblance of adversity where they were competing against someone with equal talent. And that doesn't happen very often at Ohio State. Big Ten fans, you get very angry at the SEC, and I get it. You're fed up with the it just means more SEC thing. I get it. But you don't have an SEC problem in the Big Ten. You've got an Ohio State problem. Ohio State has dominated this league for literally 50 years. And until the players at Ohio State are just better than almost everybody else in that conference, and even, frankly, Michigan. Jim Harbaugh has figured out a way to close the gap.
And I say skill position. I think skill position guys Ohio State has.
Okay.
C.J. Stroud, better quarterback, right? Jackson Smith, Njigba, when he was healthy. Marvin Harrison, hell, should have won the Biletnikoff. Right? And I say that as an SEC fan, and Jalin Hyatt won it. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. should have won the Biletnikoff as the best wide receiver. I think, but that's the difference, right? You go back and look at even when in your college football playoffs, and you cover the SEC a lot, we say it's a line of scrimmage league, and hell, all football really truly is, but sure. When it comes down to it, it's really who wins the line of scrimmage. And I feel like in a weird way, while they've had the playmakers in Columbus that are going to go to the NFL, they have not had the interior linemen. They have not had the offensive
fault?
And defensive line that I think that Harbaugh has built and roughed
and,
up.
And over whose fault is that? And again, I'm not even saying,
Day's.
I'm not saying that Ryan Day should be on the hot seat this year, that he should lose his job if they lose to Georgia. I don't believe that. But the only thing, Jim Harbaugh has not changed Michigan. Everyone's like some giant, like, where this is his moment. He's evolved. Like, no, he has been Jim Harbaugh since Stanford, since the San Francisco 49ers, every year at Michigan when he took over the job and he won 10 games in year number one. Jim Harbaugh is an excellent football coach, always has been. He has not had this massive evolution the way Nick Saban did with Lane Kiffin as his coordinator. But the only difference between Urban Meyer, Ohio State, versus Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, and Ryan Day, is that Ryan Day's team along the line of scrimmage has come back to the pack, and Michigan has taken a step forward. And that's Ryan Day's job, is to make sure that they have better players at that position. And it, I don't know, again, show me the game where Ryan Day has been the difference maker for Ohio State in an equally matched situation, and the only one I can come up with is Clemson in the semifinal a couple years ago.
And guess what? They said that a lot about Kirby Smart until he punched through.
That's
right?
True.
Kirby
That's
couldn't
true.
Coach the big
yep.
game until
exactly
he ended up
right.
winning it. All of a sudden, I think it unlocked the next level. We'll see if that happens with Ryan Day. Throw the analysis. Throw the media aspect out of this. You're not a Georgia fan. You're not Ohio State, Michigan fan, or TCU fan. What do you want to see happen? Like what do you want
yeah.
to
well,
play out? What storyline do you want to see play out?
Overtime in all three games, number one. That's my first
That'd be
vote.
Great. We don't rarely see that in semifinals.
That's
it would
my
help
first
our 401k, too, as well
yeah,
as ESPN. Yeah.
Well, my wife always asks, like, who are you rooting for in this one? And I'm like, overtime. Like, that's it. Overtime is what I want to see. And to the point about Kirby Smart and Ryan Day, what's cool is that we get to see them, an offensive genius, and a defensive genius, although Georgia has like 11 defensive coordinators. They're going to go head-to-head here, and they have a month to prepare. So if Ryan Day comes out with some unique creative stuff, or Kirby Smart comes out with some unique creative stuff, we're going to see the best in America with the best players on the same level playing field going against each other, and we're going to learn about Ryan Day. And if you're asking me what I'm rooting for, I want to see overtime between Georgia and Ohio State. I want to see a great game. Personally, I want to see Michigan's best versus Georgia's best. Big Ten, SEC, classic uniforms, classic no. helmet matchup, classic game. I want to see those two together. But the rest of America, you're not going to admit this, the highest rated matchup would be Michigan and Ohio State. That is the biggest rivalry in the sport with the most people that care about it, and it would bring in all the casual fans. And don't lie to us and tell us you're not going to watch. You're going to watch if it's Ohio State, Michigan.
I was going to say that would make me want to throw up in my mouth, but then I also realize how the rest of the country felt when they've watched Georgia and Alabama do it a
yeah.
couple years, and they're like, how do you think that we feel?
Turnabout's fair play, right. Turnabout's
how do you
play.
Think that we feel? By the way, is any team in the college football playoff gotten less credit than maybe Sonny Dykes in TCU. I mean, again, we've talked. I feel like the narrative has been more about Caleb Williams and the job that he did, and then Lincoln Riley. When we go back and look, and like this TCU squad was not great. Sonny Dykes went across the street and says, "I can win in the Big 12." And as much as we talk about Texas and Oklahoma, they're going to be leaving the Big 12 hopefully in 2024, and they join the SEC. Why don't we look at the Big 12 in a way of going, wait a minute, like, you know, is this a run that TCU can go on for a long time? Because you're going to have two of the quote-unquote brands of college football leave, the Big 12 is a very intriguing conference coming up next year.
Oh, I think there's a reason for TCU fans to be very excited, not necessarily the game against Michigan, but to be very excited moving forward. Of course, Peter Burns, Braden Gall here in for the guys. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. It's easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. And I think Stetson Bennett, it also falls into this category for some strange reason. The guy who's wearing the national championship ring just doesn't get any respect, sometimes not even from his own fan base at Georgia.
The Rodney Dangerfield of college football, right? That's going to date somebody, because there's going to be somebody, a young listener on ESPN Radio, going, I have no idea who Rodney Dangerfield is.
What's with the camera, Wang? It's a parking lot. Like, listen, if you know, you know. That's all I got to say. I think TCU, first of all, when Oklahoma and Texas leave, if you look, part of the reason TCU's here, Peter, is that if you look at the average recruiting rankings over the last 5 or 6 years in the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma win, right? They win. They get the most players from everybody in recruiting in the Big 12. Who's been number three pretty consistently under previous head coach Gary Patterson? TCU. TCU was you could argue TCU could be the number one recruiting program in the Big 12 moving forward. So can Sonny Dykes take this playoff appearance and catapult himself into a league that could be extremely balanced and interesting year in and year out?
I think when you talk big picture about, if you're just, let's say you're an NFL fan, right? You're all in on everything that's going on, and you're trying to find, all right, why, what am I looking for as far as a big storyline going forward? I do think it's TCU versus Michigan. I find that to be almost more intriguing in some ways than Ohio State and Georgia. If for no other reason, we've looked at all of the Power Fives, and we quote unquote think the Power Fives are all created equal, right? That hey, listen, if it's a Power Five and Group of Five, there's, you're one of the other, okay? When, and you could argue the Pac-12 hasn't been performing like a Power Five for a long time. So
I mean, the
really
ACC this year would be...
I mean the American Conference almost was a better conference in football than Pac-12. Now, I think that changes next year. But I'm really intrigued to see, is this going to be another situation where Michigan goes out there and manhandles? We saw Alabama manhandle Cincinnati. Like, if from the time that they got off the bus, it looked like these two things are not the same. And that's what Alabama did to it. If Michigan does this to TCU, okay, do we handle it the same way? And do we start reevaluating, going, all right, yeah, I know that you won the Big 12. Yeah, I know you won Clemson, you won the ACC. But are you truly going to be that big of a contender? Like, are you really, are you a national championship team? Or are you the best of this lower division or lower conference of college football? And I think that's a discussion that could be had.
Part of the beauty of college football is, like, you carry all the history of all the narratives with you when you enter these big games, right? Like, Michigan is carrying the Big Ten banner, the Michigan banner, the Northern banner, like, all these things that the Harbaugh banner, all these narratives.
It's like a Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah,
like,
it very much is. I mean, the money's pretty big and the stakes are very high. And the Big 12 has been in these games year in and year out and failed where? Along the line of scrimmage. The Big 12 has not since, like, Gerald McCoy and, like, Sam Bradford in Oklahoma in, like, 08 when they went up against Florida and actually held their own in that game. No Big 12 team has been capable along the line of scrimmage. And so TCU comes into this game against a team that loves to play along the line of scrimmage in Michigan, and they bring all that baggage with them, right? Like, all the narratives that you and I like to talk about and that media like to talk about. It's, oh, the Big 12 can't play defense on the defensive line. That's the thing that we say. And so all that comes with TCU. Now, the Horned Frogs have played with their food a lot this year. they've not exactly been a dominant force.
I think they were down at least 7 of their games this year at some point.
So my question to you is, with TCU and Michigan, is which side of the psychological coin do you like better? Which is, for TCU, no pressure. You can play loose. You can play fast. You're the underdog. You've sort of been in this situation all year where no one gives you respect. And all that's the psychology of TCU. The Michigan psychology is, We know how to handle the 30-day layoff because we've done it before. We know how to handle media day because we've done it before. We have unfinished business. This is a business trip for Michigan.
It's 1,000% Michigan.
I think so too.
And what it does is it stems back from last year. The way that they just got absolutely whooped, thinking that, hey, listen, hey, we got by Ohio State. Our time is now. And then they showed up and they got punked. You go back and look at what George Pickens was doing to some Michigan Wolverine players in that game, and it was just like men amongst boys. And so for me, I look at that and go, all right, you're kind of are we who we are? Like who are we really moment was there in Columbus. You learned about yourself, especially in that second half. And now you are on this revenge tip. Like you are the, all right, bet, let's go. Like that's what you want. And again, you are going to walk off the bus and that offensive line is going to look different than their defensive line, right?
Yeah.
Their playmakers are going to look different. And I don't think that it's this moment of, all right, we're not ready for it. And I'm a firm believer of you have to have that experience. Like, for instance, I don't know if Georgia wins a national championship last year if they don't get punched in the throat by Alabama in the SEC championship game.
Look at Clemson against Alabama. Like, you have to lose that game to learn how to win it, right?
And I'm the same way with Michigan, is even though that they made big-time changes in the way how tough and how beefy their interior line is and how much they wanted to run the ball and bully people, they thought they had made big changes, but it wasn't until Georgia stole their lunch money last year that they realized, going, we got to take it even one step further.
Yep.
We're going to start running these 9-7 drills, which is 9 offensive players versus 7 defensive players, and learn not only how to run the ball, but also stop the run. And to me, you got to go back and look at last year. But the one thing I am fascinated about, what happens if Michigan does do this? What happens if Michigan does go out? They beat TCU, which could happen. They're a favorite. They beat, presumably, Georgia, but maybe Ohio State again, especially if it's Ohio State. Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
That if Harbaugh goes out and wins a national championship and he beats Ohio State, what else is there to accomplish on the collegiate level?
Fans would lose their minds because they'd be so happy with the national championship again if Michigan wins the title. First outright national champion from the Big Ten not named Ohio State since the 60s. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. TCU is an unprecedented story all his own. The other thing with Jim Harbaugh is he switched quarterbacks. This is like lost in the shuffle. The guy took him to the playoffs last year, Cade McNamara. He got benched for a new guy as part of this evolution that you're talking about. We've got to be better.
Had Dabo Swinney done that with DJ Uiagalelei and went with Cade Klubnik, we'd probably see the Clemson Tigers sitting in the college football playoff and not the Buckeyes.
So they learned. I think TCU is a great story. They will be loose. They'll be confident. No expectations. They can play that way, and I think that's fair. But I think they come into it eyes pretty wide open. I think Michigan comes into it all business, motivated, unfinished business, all the cliches you want to. But the experience of losing that game last year taught them they needed to take it to the next level. And if J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback switch by Harbaugh, like that's kind of Tua Jalen Hurts ish, right?
Right.
But just doing it at the beginning of the season. It's a pretty bold move, and if it works for Michigan, here's the hot take, because I don't know if Harbaugh wants to go win a Super Bowl or not. That's a crazy – just imagine Michigan Twitter if they win a national title and then a week later he leaves. Like, that would be – Michigan Twitter
would still be okay with it.
Would
they'd
explode.
Still be okay with it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Like, why are you leaving now, dude? I think I Jim Harbaugh and Michigan – I think they can play Georgia extremely well in a championship game. And I don't think the odds makers are going to say that. I think Georgia would be like an 8-9 point favorite. My question to you is, am I crazy for thinking that Michigan will actually play very well in a championship game against Georgia?
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's a Spider-Man meme of them like pointing at each other, right? They're built almost identical, whereas Ohio State has a little bit more playmakers, but I think they're softer in the interior. Michigan is basically the same version as they were last year, just a little bit tougher. Georgia's the same version as they were last year, a little bit more experience from Stetson Bennett, but then again, they've lost some of that talent. So I think it's extremely equal. I'll go one step further right now. If you're Jim Harbaugh and you beat Ohio State in a national championship game, there is no doubt in my mind you become an NFL coach. You will have beaten Ohio State three straight times, twice in a regular season, once in the playoff. You've won a national title. What in the world else would there be to gain in Ann Arbor? You go out there and you figure out whatever the best college or the best NFL job is, and you take it immediately.
Yeah, I think it's you make a great point. I think it all depends on what makes Jim Harbaugh tick at the end of the night when he lays his head down. Does he?
I don't think he knows, honestly.
he might be right. It's so funny. Like, I literally have taught my two daughters when I say, who's got it better than us? And they're like, nobody, Dad. Like, you can use a lot of Jim Harbaugh in the parenting world there. Just don't climb in trees to get your kicker. That's a day gone by for Jim Harbaugh. I don't know. I think you can call your own shot if you win the national title. You can live in – you become the most – famous, you know, coach in history of the sport at that program. There's a lot of reasons to stay if you're Jim Harbaugh as well. I think there's so many storylines for this, of course, coming up on Saturday for both of these games. TCU is unprecedented as a story. Nobody's gone from, you know, preseason number 50 to the playoff. Michigan would be, again, as I said, first undisputed Big Ten champion not named Ohio State.
And little old Stetson Bennett, who has who's been kicked off the team basically twice for just being like, you're not good enough. You're going to have to go play some JUCO or like Division III school. And oh, by the way, they tried to replace him last year with Caleb Williams. They couldn't do it. He wins the national championship. They tried to replace him with C.J. Stroud. They couldn't do it. C.J. Stroud ended up going to Ohio State. Like, at some point, Stetson's like going to be the greatest ESPN 30 for 30 of guys of actually winning back-to-back national titles.
First of all, and I'm sure you spoke to him at SEC Media Days as well as I did, and like, this is a confident young dude. Like, he is – it borders on arrogance when you're around him, because I think he plays the entire – his entire life has had a chip on his shoulder. Like, he just –
It's very like Jalen Hurts and kind of Joe Burrow-ish in the fact should I be offended? Is this guy coming across cocky or confident? And when you can't tell, that's a great line to walk.
Dude, he came into this season with a ring on his finger holding a grudge against the questions that were being asked of him at SEC Media Days. Like, he was offended. And what's good about him is that he was willing to joke about it, right? But you could tell it was upsetting him. Like, you could tell he was like, why am I still answering these questions? I just won the ring. I went on 275-yard drives against Alabama in the fourth quarter, dog. Like, what do you want me to do?
I just went on Good Morning America off of, like, Perry Van Winkle or whatever it is. Rip Van Winkle. Like,
Pappy.
Pappy do anything.
Pappy. More like Pappy.
Whatever it is.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
The other thing is, last on these college football championship games, these playoff games, styles will make fights. If it's a high-scoring game, I think Ohio State can keep it close with Georgia. If it's a high-scoring game, TCU can keep it close with Michigan. If it turns into trench warfare, that's where Georgia and Michigan have significant advantages. So, going to be great games over the weekend on Saturday, New Year's Eve, so make sure you check that out. Of course, coverage right here on ESPN Radio. Peter Burns, Braden Gall, of course, going to play a game when we're coming up here. Choose your own adventure with a free agent head coach in the NFL.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Time for some choose your own adventure NFL head coaching style here on Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. His name is Peter Burns. My name is Braden Gall. Of course, ESPN Radio brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And you've been wanting to talk about this for like 6 hours now, Peter. You want to choose your own adventure with Sean Payton, of course, who is the free agent commodity amongst all head coaching candidates. We got the Carolina job already open. The Indianapolis Colts job is open. The Denver Broncos job is open. There's a handful of other jobs that could come open, in theory. We can talk about a variety of these in hypothetical situations, right, with the Dallas Cowboys, the Los Angeles Chargers.
I would put
the Washington Commanders in this conversation as well. I think there's a
how about
lot
the,
of...
How about the New Orleans Saints? They have a coach, but we don't know how long they'll have a coach. Could he go back to the Saints and reunite with Tom Brady? Their first appearance together. Yeah.
So, Tom Brady, a huge part of this potentially as well. So the question becomes, because if you're a new guy and you're trying to get your first head coaching job, you don't have leverage. You're going to take one of the 32 jobs that's offered to you, because the 32 jobs are very rare, very high value positions. If you're Sean Payton, you have all the leverage. You can take your time and decide on what you like. So the question is, if you're Sean Payton, and again, let's broaden out the options here in the NFL. We know there's guys that are employed currently. Let's just say hypothetically a bunch of these jobs were available and part of the conversation. Where do you want to go? But more importantly, what are you valuing and evaluating when you make that decision as Sean Payton.
All right, so it's only proper that we bring this up, brought to you by Home Depot, with everything you need, project smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done, because we are building this, right? We're constructing what Sean Payton should want. It's natural tie-in. So with that being said, I need you to help me on this Choose Your Own Adventure. How do I put it in order if I'm Sean Payton? The Choose Your Own Adventure is QB1 the most important part of my decision? Is front office control the most important part of my decision? Is what division I'm going to play in part of my division? Or draft capital? Like, that to me is the first decision you make on the Choose Your Own Adventure book. Like, whenever you're trying to face off, or you're going to go, like, end up in a cave with a bear or something like that. Like, before you have to make these decisions to get to that point.
So is that the Cowboys?
Because Sean Payton has that list, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Cowboys. Jerry Jones is the bear.
That's the ending.
Cave, right?
As long as Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys, that's how that one ends, right?
I would add one to your list. So we've got quarterback situation, front office meddling / relationship. You've got...
Correct. What division?
Path to a championship would be which division you're in. Draft capital, I would add salary cap to that, and
sure.
current roster as well. Like, how, if you've got a really good, talented young defensive core, does that add to your decision? So I think those are all right now major decisions for Sean Payton.
I think the most important thing, especially with Sean Payton, because he knows the amount of success that you can have with a great quarterback versus not so great quarterback situation. We saw how that played out in New Orleans at the end, going with Taysom Hill and it just not working, and it was just a mess, ends up not being coaching any longer. I think QB, who's your QB1? And to me, if you got the best two QB1 situations right now are two teams in which already have head coaches, right? The Chargers making their run with Justin Herbert, and of course, what's going on with McCarthy over in Dallas and Dak Prescott. That would be the 1-2 punch of say, hey, listen, what position don't I have to worry about? A guy that I know the future on, the guy that I've got for a couple more years underneath my belt. If it's quarterback position, you're in a waiting game if you're Sean Payton. Right, you're in a waiting game because you got to figure out if one of the Chargers or the Cowboys flame out, you get that opportunity.
Where's Russell Wilson? I mean, this is a Hall of Fame Super Bowl champion. Is Denver not part of that conversation? I mean, I'm with you on the pause here.
I think it has to be a part of it. I mean, again, because you know he was on another show a while back, and he had even kind of brought up a game plan on how to fix Russell Wilson. You know, he had given it some thought, and he goes, what I do is I go into film and I go look at every single 30-yard play of success. What did you do? Give me a reel of that, and then I'm going to go work with an offensive coordinator and say, we need to do this. Now, it's not like earth-shattering ideas, right? But he had given at least some thought of how to create Russell Wilson. The issue that I have lays into what my path is in a division. Because one of the reasons why I don't think I would like the Denver Broncos job is the fact of, A, I don't know how fractured the locker room is if they can rally around Russell Wilson. I don't know how much Russell Wilson is willing to change. You astutely brought up, hey, the more powerful and more guys that had success, the more money they get, the less likely they are to change their ways, right? They're not going to all of a sudden find this, the saving grace to them. And as long as the Chiefs are there, I mean, you're going to be playing in a tough division. Now, I don't know how much that enters the mindset of a head coach. I mean, like,
these are ultra competitive guys. Like, they don't know. I don't personally think they look at like path and challenges, especially in the NFL where it's all basically kind of even. I mean, all divisions are largely the same. Yes, I know the South, both Souths this year are down, but I think these guys are ultra competitive. And I don't know if that factors in. I think your relationship with your owner, your relationship with your GM, I think the depth on defense for a guy like Sean Payton who runs the offense. The other thing about the quarterback angle is how much does he love the prospects coming into the draft the next 2 years?
Houston Texans going to have the number one draft pick.
Right,
do you say, listen, I think Bryce Young or I think CJ Stroud or one of these guys is the guy that I want to tie my future to, and we have a bunch of cap space? I mean, in a weird way, what's funny, the Chicago Bears, if they were looking in a different direction, that would have been a no-brainer, because I think the NFC North is up for grabs, and they have something like $100 million of cap space, and they've already got a quarterback that I think is a future in Justin Fields. Is just a matter of what can you build around him.
There's a lot of moving parts, and I think even like the Washington Commanders, I really love their young defensive core, some of their offensive skill players. I don't know about the ownership situation. That could be solved soon, but if you have a choice and you could pick your own quarterback, does Sean Payton value that more, or does he want the guy like Herbert, like Russell Wilson, like Dak Prescott, who's already established? And maybe there's some other issues there, right? Jerry Jones is over your shoulder, or Los Angeles doesn't love football as much as Dallas does, or whatever. It's what does he value? So I want to know from all of you, of course, here on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, Peter Burns, Braden Gall, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where would you go if you're Sean Payton, and what do you value? We've also got some fantasy football bets coming up as well, right here on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
If you are Sean Payton, where would you want to go, coach? Your calls. Within reason, you knuckleheads.
Peter Ohio Burns. State after they fire Ryan Day after he gets blown
the
out.
The Buffalo Bills. I want to coach for the Kansas City. Within reason, you knuckleheads. 888-SAY-ESPN. Peter Burns, Braden Gall in for the guys. Again, I think the two arguments here are quarterback, win now, stable situation, Chargers and Cowboys, or assets, cap space, draft capital, ability to have control, maybe the Houston Texans, for example, in that conversation. Richie in Maryland, first up here on ESPN Radio. Richie, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I was thinking, what about Carolina? One, he knows the division. Two, top 10 picks, you know, and you could draft his own QB that he's molding to someone who wants, you know.
That's an interesting angle there, Richie. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, there's nothing, and listen, I live here in Charlotte, there's nothing that excites me about the Carolina Panthers. Sorry, right? I mean, like, from the get-go, there's just nothing of it. Like, the stadium itself, I mean, especially if you are Sean Payton, the Superdome is one of the few places in the NFL that have a absolute true home field advantage, right? There is no doubt about that. You've seen it rocking the Superdome, going crazy. Yep. Kansas City's one of those places. I mean, you go on. Denver, I think, is one of those places that has it.
Kansas City, Green good. Bay.
Green Bay, to a certain extent. You don't get that right now at the Carolina Panthers. It's like you go to church, you grab some Bojangles, and you're like, oh, let's just go watch what kind of football they're playing over there at the stadium, right?
Vinegar-based barbecue is pretty good, you know?
Yeah, there's just not enough pizzazz to me. And to think about it going, all right, this roster is good enough, or there's enough draft picks. And even David Tepper, the new owner of it, kind of an interesting cat, too. Like, he is, you know, he's not made a lot of friends here in the Carolinas in the way that he's handled some of his practice places. Yeah. And he's a billionaire that doesn't like to be told what to do. I don't think that'd be the case.
It's almost like Carolina is, like, on the bottom of almost each of these categories. Like, quarterback,
yeah,
draft
there's not,
capital.
There's not one that puts him at the top of the list.
Right. Peter Burns, Braden Gall here, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Jay in New York. Jay, welcome to ESPN Radio.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
What up, Jay?
I like Arizona, man. Hey, man, I like Arizona. You got your quarterback. You got a top five receiver there. I kind of feel that they underperform because they need a head coach. On the other teams in the conference, they're going to be looking for quarterbacks. You could come into a stable situation. I'd call JJ and tell him, hey, J.J. Watt, come on back, man. Give me a year or two. I might be able to get you that ring. But I like Arizona. I think it's stable. I don't know much about their draft capital. But I do know, you know, their glaring issue at offense is running back, and you could probably get that late in the draft. Yeah. I think Arizona, good weather. You know, I'm sure that'll play a part. Yeah, man, I think Arizona will be a good fit for him. If I was Sean, I'd consider it if it were open.
You know, a lot of it depends. That's a great call, Jay, because Arizona, I think, eventually could be open fairly soon. They've got a lot of cap space. The question is, just like with Russell Wilson, how much do you believe in your offense being married to Kyler Murray? Because that's the guy.
It has to be if Kyler Murray is your quarterback, right? I mean, it has to be. I feel like there's too much of a novelty with Kyler Murray and not enough, all right, I think I can do this with a bunch of different looks. And I think that you go back and look at Sean Payton, the novelty that was Taysom Hill. Obviously, much different players. Kyler is much more of a traditional quarterback, although he does have a lot of wiggle. And what Kyler is going to be like coming off of the injury, you assume going to be 100%, right? But you never truly know, and especially how, you know, his elusiveness is such a monster part of the game and how you game plan it. They do have the fourth pick of the draft. I just don't think that he would trust Kyler Murray as the guy that I would go out. And again, Cliff's still there.
There are questions around all these established quarterbacks other than really Justin Herbert. Like, Justin Herbert and that team is ready to compete. Now, they don't have a lot of cap space. Kyler Murray, there's questions. Russell Wilson, there are some questions about building the locker room. With Dak Prescott in Dallas, I think they're the most win-now-ready franchise that we've talked about. But again, you've got to work for Jerry Jones. Not everybody necessarily wants to do
but
that.
But he has been. Like, he's seen it before, right?
That's true.
Like,
That's true.
It's on his resume, right? So he understands what he's getting into. The question is Jerry going to just overshadow that? I don't know.
I think, you know, Indianapolis is a really good franchise to work for, good division. I don't think they've got enough stuff that you want. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have the draft capital. Vegas has a lot of weapons. We'll get to some of the quarterback issues there. There could be some stuff lingering with the Raiders. Denver, we talked about Russ. Here's one we haven't talked about. What about Tampa Bay post-Tom Brady? Like, Bruce Arians leaves. You know, that team has taken a step back without Bruce Arians.
Yeah, I mean, I would if I'm going to look at a team, I almost look more of the Houston Texans. If you're talking about a team that is not in a good spot right now, the Texans, no state income tax. You would have the number one pick of the draft. You get the Browns pick that's probably going to come in at number 10. You're going to have a lot of and your first year is kind of okay. It's the first year. Make up the roster what you want of it. They've got some cap space. Houston, Texans wouldn't be the worst place to land either.
No, just down the road from New Orleans, right? You just commute from the Garden District.
Go out there and get Bryce Young, the overall number one pick.
Listen, I can't believe you just said that because I completely agree. Bryce Young is the man. He is the guy in this class. Peter Burns, Braden Gall here on ESPN Radio. I like Will Levis. I like Anthony Richardson. I like CJ Stroud. I will take Bryce Young, number one overall, if I'm the Houston Texans. That's just what I would do, but I'm just a guy on ESPN Radio. Do you want your team to tank? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.